Hello, everyone. I'm Danielle Schipani, Assistant Editor at Consultant 360. Our guest today is Dr. Sanjita Algoral, who is a Professor of Internal Medicine, the Gastroenterology Fellowship Director, and the Division Director of Gastroenterology at Wright State University in Dayton, Ohio. She will be speaking with us today about her recently published systematic review titled MicroRNA Involvement in the Onset and Progression of Barrett's Esophagus. Thank you for joining us today, Dr. Agarwal.
Thank you for having me.
To start, can you give us a brief overview of your study and what you found?
So we performed a systematic review of current literature on the differential expression of microRNAs in Barrett's esophagus within the concept of the major signaling pathways that they regulate. And this is mainly to highlight the functional contribution of microRNAs to the onset and progression of Barrett's esophagus to esophageal adenocarcinoma. MicroRNAs are actually small non-coding RNAs, which are about 18 to 25 nucleotides in length, and they are shown to be frequently dysregulated in cancer. And our review, a systematic review, basically focused on the downstream targets of microRNAs known to be dysregulated in Barrett's esophagus, which is the only known precursor lesion of esophageal adenocarcinoma. And as we all know, GERD is the only risk factor for Barrett's esophagus, and the incidence of esophageal adenocarcinoma in Barrett's is only 0.55%. So it is important to identify Barrett's patients which are most at risk of developing esophageal cancer so that they can be carefully monitored and undergo surveillance. So in this systematic review, we did list out a number of microRNAs which are upregulated or downregulated in different stages of Barrett's esophagus as it progresses towards esophageal adenocarcinoma.
What are some gaps in our understanding of Barrett's esophagus pathophysiology that warrant further investigation?
So many key regulators underlying the Barrett's esophagus pathophysiology and its progression to esophageal adenocarcinoma have been identified, but we are lacking any effective protein and microRNA biomarkers for Barrett's esophagus, and they still remain poorly defined. We still do not understand why a select few patients with Barrett's progress to esophageal adenocarcinoma, while the majority do not. The risk of cancer progression for these patients with non-dysplastic Barrett's is about only 0.2 to 0.5% per year. For patients who have low-grade dysplasia, the risk of progression is 0.7%. And for patients with high-grade dysplasia, the annual risk of progression is 7%. So majority of patients, about 90% who are diagnosed with Barrett's, will die of causes other than esophageal adenocarcinoma. So what we need to understand better is the pathophysiology which is behind the progression of Barrett's to esophageal adenocarcinoma and why it happens in only a select group of patients.
Can you give us an example of a challenging patient with Barrett's esophagus and how to treat him or her?
So in my opinion, all patients with Barrett's esophagus are challenging because we do not know which one of these are going to progress to cancer. We do know of certain clinical risk factors like advancing age, increasing length of Barrett's, central obesity, tobacco usage, etc., but we don't have any definite biomarkers which classify these high-risk patients. So we rely on endoscopy and biopsy surveillance for all these patients with Barrett's and treat them with proton pump inhibitors for GERD. Barrett's esophagus who have persistent low-grade dysplasia or high-grade dysplasia are treated using endoscopic ablation techniques like radiofrequency ablation or cryoablation.
What is the role of surgery in treating Barrett's esophagus? When is surgery recommended?
So there is no role of surgery in treating non-dysplastic Barrett's esophagus. So surgery is recommended only for patients with Barrett's esophagus who have developed esophageal adenocarcinoma or high-grade dysplasia.
And what is the key takeaway you hope to leave our audience with today?
So Barrett's esophagus is the only confirmed risk factor for esophageal adenocarcinoma. And we know that the incidence of esophageal adenocarcinoma is now rising in USA, and it is paralleling the rise in obesity epidemic, which is true because obesity contributes to GERD, which contributes to Barrett's, and that contributes to the cancer. And it's a common pre-malignant condition which affects 1.6% adults in US, but only a small proportion of these patients get diagnosed who are diagnosed with Barrett's progress to cancer. So risk of progression from Barrett's to cancer is currently decided based on presence of dysplasia on endoscopic biopsy specimen, which is not a very reliable biomarker to predict progression. Surveillance in these patients with Barrett's and without dysplasia, that costs up to $380,000 per quality adjusted life year gained, whereas surveillance in Barrett's with dysplasia costs about $50,000 per quality adjusted life year gained. So we need a valid risk stratification tool to identify the minority of patients which are at elevated risk for progression to cancer and focus all our energy on these patients so that they can benefit from surveillance. This will be more cost effective and less invasive. It will also reduce the anxiety of the patients who are diagnosed with Barrett's and who are at low or no risk of progression to cancer. So we recently actually completed a pilot study, which I presented at DDW in Washington, D.C., and we have identified few microRNAs which show differential expression in GERD, BE, Barrett's esophagus with low-grade dysplasia, high-grade dysplasia, and esophageal adenocarcinoma. And currently, we are doing a study to validate this differential expression which occurs in Barrett's and esophageal adenocarcinoma, and hopefully in future, we will see a set of biomarkers which will predict this progression.
Thank you again for speaking with me today, Dr. Algaral.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.